about biblical counseling and how it's helped people. That is Brad Bigney. He wrote Gospel Treason. Gospel Treason will hurt your feelings. I'm just going to tell you, it's a book that will hurt your feelings, but it's really good. It's a radical amputation of sin, right, Aaron? That's what it's all about. Brad Bigney has a church of over 2,000 people that have three campuses. Mark Shaw is one of his right-hand men who also does biblical counseling, which is what we use for Brianna's Hope. Right now we're using Mark Shaw's Heart of Addiction through biblical, I'm sorry, for Brianna's Hope, rather. And so Mark Shaw has wrote Heart of Addiction and several other books that are not coming to my brain at the moment, but both of these guys are incredibly intelligent, godly men. And Brad Bigney, you know, 29 years ago was having issues with his wife. And, you know, he said he was in ministry and his wife hated him. And I went to a Soul Care conference last week, and the guy that did Soul Care, his wife also said, "I don't like you." Sarah has not told me yet that she does not like me, so we're doing all right so far. All right? I pray we never get to that point, babe. Just saying. You know, but ministry is tough. Ministry is draining. Ministry takes the men out of the home sometimes, and women. Ministry takes people all the way across the world into the lowest parts of the country so people can go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And there are people all over the world who are battling depression and anxiety, marital problems, anger problems, suicidal thoughts, cancer, you name it. It's all over the world. And we, as Christ followers, have the best news there is. We have God's Word. We have the Bible, the Holy Bible. And yet, so many people just so often put it on their nightstand and let it collect dust. When we take it and we open it and dust it off, we find God's Word is like this in Hebrews 4:12. Says, "For the word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." We are holding a living and active piece of literature. It's God's word. And John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God." And then in John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word. So when we literally are reading the Bible, we're literally reading Jesus. Isn't that awesome, folks? Isn't that good news? And we have the good news. So all of biblical counseling is, if you don't like the word counseling, that's fine. I didn't either. Look at it as pure discipleship. Discipleship. It is pure discipleship. When somebody comes to my office and they have a problem, and I go to the Word of God and I share with them the Word of God, Jesus, that's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, I'm helping them realign horizontally. We have the good news. I wanted to share that with you. That was extra. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you so much for your word and how it's living and active. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is so sharp that it's piercing the spirit and the soul. It is going right to the marrow. And it has the it can help us with the intentions of the heart. And God, in Galatians 6:1 and 2, it says that we are to carry each other's burdens as a family, as a children of God. We come together to carry each other's burdens. There's a point to coming together and worshiping you. Father God, I just pray as we dive into your word today, as we talk about Advent again, and as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who became flesh and dwelt among us so that we can have a perfect example of a godly life and also to be able to be justified, sanctified, and then eventually glorified at the end. Father God, we ask that you'd be in this service, be in this sermon, as we open up your word and share it together. God, you are just on the throne. Help us to give you all the praise and glory and the honor in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So with that free little tidbit there, I mentioned that, we're talking about the birth of Christ. So we have been on a journey of Advent for these last few weeks, learning more about Christ and his love. This week, we will be looking at joy through the lens of peace. And I wanted to share a short devotional with you by Lori Honeycutt, who is one of the Alliance, people in the Alliance. It is called The Candle of Joy. And as I read this devotional, I came to the passage that I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes. But if you all would just take a posture of humbling yourself before the Lord. I'm going to read this part. Come before the Lord in a posture of humility. He delights in you. He delights in you. Whether you open your hands as a sign of obedience, close your eyes to focus your mind, or kneel to center your heart, draw close to him as he draws close to you. That's James 4:8. Let's give all of ourselves to the King of Kings. Joy is a light, love, and full of hope of what is to come. And yet, the fullness of joy would not be what is without the existence of darkness, sin, and suffering. Our loving Father, in his grace and love, sent him his Son in human form through many rich allegories that I'm sure were no mistake. He allowed Christ, our King, to be born in the darkness of night. Had he not been born at night, God could not have used light to show others the way. Without darkness, the angel that appeared to the shepherds and the glory that shone around them would not have shone as brightly because of the darkness of night. He was able to use the light of the star that shone so brilliantly, it led the wise men straight to Jesus. Joy is something we want without sacrifice, suffering, or work. We can feel that we are entitled to joy simply because we follow Jesus. And yet, truly following Jesus and suffering with him as we endure various trials here on earth is often the path we must take to find the joy we seek. It is his redemption in our pain, the renewing of our hearts, and the shifting of our gaze to the focus on the light of Jesus that will lead us to the unspeakable joy we seek. The more we surrender, the more we will be able to recognize the love and light of Jesus, his redemption and healing in ways beyond our comprehension. The darkness of this world serves as a backdrop for his light to be seen in all its brilliance. And when we can find the light in the darkness of nights, it is there that our hearts will find true joy and hope in knowing that there is nothing that can overcome the light and love of Jesus. We go through trials and suffering here on earth for a reason. Jesus went through suffering for a reason. Everybody wants that word joy with a snap of a finger. Again, I want to talk about each week of the candles, just briefly a reminder before we go into Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. That will be the passage today, Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. The Advent, the waiting or the expectancy of somebody important, right? And we already discussed earlier that we are waiting for the second arrival of Jesus. Now, he is not coming in the first way that he came. He is not coming to be born again. The second time, he's coming as king. And he is coming on a horse, and he is going to defeat Satan. He's already defeated Satan. He's just going to finish up what he needs, you know, what needs to be finished up. If you read the book of Revelation, that is where you will find, like, especially Revelation 20. Those are good passages for you to read on your own. Do you remember what each of the week Advent means? I'm going to tell you. Week one was hope. And that is that was in the first week. Peace is the second week. Joy is the third week. Love is the fourth week. And then the big candle is the candle of Christ, which we will light tonight at 7 o'clock. We light these candles each week, adding another candle to the week, or each week, celebrating the advent of our Lord and Savior and his love and how he accomplished all these things, hope, peace, joy, and love. And today, I wanted to focus on our attention on Romans 5, 1 through 5. And I'll read that passage, and then we will dive into some meat and potatoes. I hope you all are hungry. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The advent of Jesus brought us justification in Romans 5:1. Jesus brought to humanity justification. Justification is a legal term. It means not guilty. And those who put their faith in Christ are now justified. They're found not guilty. Justification. We hear that word a lot. Not guilty. We talk about this in Evangelism Explosion. And one of the things I love to talk, that I liked about Evangelism Explosion and talk about justification is we talk about the effects of sin. So think about this for a second. Say that you were really good and you only got down to 3 sins a day. That's pretty good. 3 sins a day, right? You add that up, that's 1,000 sins a year. And then by the time you're 70 years old, that's 70,000 sins that you've committed. And you go to stand before God, the holy judge, with 70,000 sins. And you hadn't repented of any one of those, you're found guilty. You have not been justified. 70,000 sins. Now, the reality is we probably sin way more than 3 times a day. So imagine if you sinned 10 times a day. That's way more than 70,000 by the time you're 70 years old. So justification, how do you get found not guilty? And why did Jesus, when his arrival, the birth of his birth, why is that so important to understand justification? And how God had it planned out from Genesis. God had this whole thing planned out, orchestrated every single bit of it. We serve an awesome God, folks. Justification. So, what do you do when you have 70,000 sins? You repent. You get found not guilty. How do you do that? You got to repent. So, do you know that the Apostle Paul wrote the word justification over 30 times in the book of Romans? Just in the book of Romans, he wrote justification 30 times. I think the Apostle Paul was trying to tell us something about justification, don't you? You got to be justified. Now, justification does not happen until after salvation, right? So, before salvation, you're lost. You're dead in sin, period. End of story. You're dead. That's the bad news. The good news is, the gospel, is that Jesus came to raise the dead and make the dead alive again. And he did that. Well, my cross is gone. He did that by dying on the cross. But he had to be born. He wanted to be born as a baby and live the human life. He lived 30 years upon the earth before his ministry even started, so that he could show us what it was like to go through suffering and trials and temptation. You know, he went 40 days in the desert and then stood toe-to-toe with Satan, being tempted. Now, the thing that I always like to tell people is Jesus had one up on us because he was God in the flesh, all right? He was one up on us. He was God in the flesh. He was already justified. So, let me go back to this justification. So how do you get justified? Salvation. So when you're dead in your sin and you repent and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're immediately saved. Salvation. And then, check this out, justification. Found not guilty. It's a one-time thing. Salvation and justification are both one-time things. You're found not guilty. Isn't that good news, folks? Isn't that good news? And that's what the advent of Jesus did for humanity. He brought justification to the world. That's good news. And Paul wanted us to look at it 30 times in the book of Romans alone. And another meaning for this term is to declare righteousness or to be made righteous. That is another way you can look at justification. So found not guilty, or to be made righteous. No one is righteous, no, not one. The only person that is righteous is Jesus. So when we are saved, when we repent of our sins and we're justified, we become righteous in Christ. That is great news. And I don't know about you guys, but that just makes me so excited when I look at the birth of Jesus Christ. And please come tonight at 7 o'clock because we will be looking at the story of Jesus Christ. And it's a little comedy. It's really a good time. We put a lot of work into it. John put a lot of work into it, you know, and we're looking at the birth tonight. And it brought justification. But Jesus had to do something else for all of this to take place. He had to die on the cross. You see, and that's what we celebrate at Easter time. We celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. But it's all part of the same story. And Jesus came so that sin can be pardoned. Jesus' death and resurrection brought about this verb, justification. This promise to those who believe in him and repent of their sins. And notice the next phrase in the first verse. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so humanity was separated from God because of sinful rebellion. But Jesus came to end that separation from God. All right, let me read that. So, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. All right, so humanity was separated again, and Jesus came to end that separation through justification. All right, so that is to be found not guilty. All right, and in Colossians 1, 21 through 22, write this down. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. And you, who were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you blameless above reproach in him. That is the righteousness. That is the justification, right? That is the being found not guilty. We had to go through Jesus' body in order to be reconciled to God. How many of you think this is unfair so far? Nobody raised their hand. That's good. And God's eyes, everything, you know, the way that he planned it, it's fair. I couldn't imagine sacrificing one of my kids to save somebody else. And many people say that. Many people say that. Now, there are... In demonic realms, people do sacrifice their children to idols. It's terrible. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about Advent and how Jesus' birth brought about reconciliation to God. It had to happen, folks. It had to happen this way. And God knew from the very beginning when Adam and Eve were planted in the Garden of Eden that they would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and sin would enter the world. He knew it. He had, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were one, and they all had this planned out from the very beginning, that Jesus would come at the appointed time to die on the cross. Jesus was born, and he lived a human life, and he knew that he was going to die on the cross. Can you imagine knowing your death date? He knew the death date. So that people could be justified. So that we could have joy. We can have that word joy in Christ, even though we're going through trials and tribulations in our own life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish I could go on a deserted island just for a couple days and not have to worry about any of the sicknesses or sin, disease, you know, no disobedient children or anything, right? Like, I just would like to have a rest. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we have to have joy in our trials, and that Jesus came to help us with finding joy even in the midst of trial. I hope this is making sense to you guys, that Jesus' advent brought about salvation, justification, reconciliation, and glorification at the end. But not everybody's going to get glorified. Not everybody's going to be justified. Not everybody's going to have salvation. Some people will reject the gospel, the good news. Some people will look at Hebrews 4:12 and say, that's garbage, that's false. Some people will say, well, you know, when Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, they'll say, that's just another book. The Bible's just another book. And those folks are the people we really need to be praying for their salvation. Read something about George Mueller about how he wanted his friends to come to justification. He had five friends that did not know Christ. Five friends. And just to make a long story short, he prayed for one of his friends for 70 years. And the day that he died and was buried, and you know, when they buried George Mueller, his last friend came to know Christ at his funeral. We should be praying for people to come to know Christ. And some people who are experiencing trials and tribulations do the exact opposite when they're going through that trial. They blame God. They get angry with God. They say, well, if God is so good, why do I have cancer? If God is so good, why did I get in a car accident? If God is so good, why did I lose a limb? If God is so good, why did he take my child? If God is so good, why don't I have a baby? Why didn't I get to have my own child? If God is so good. But then you think about how good God really is, because he gave his only son to die on the cross. His only son, he died on the cross so that we could be justified. So that we can be found above reproach with God. We good? All right. So my second point. So we can be found above reproach with God because of Jesus. So faith is access of grace. Faith is the access of grace. So Romans 5:2, the second verse. According to John MacArthur commentary, the word access is used twice in the New Testament, in Ephesians 2:18 and also 3:12. So Ephesians 2:18 and 3:12, the word access is used twice. This word always refers to the believer's access to God through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. This was unthinkable to an Old Testament Jew and is now available to all. Can you imagine being an Old Testament person and you know, like Fish was a wise man, right? Can you imagine going up to an Old Testament Jew and saying, yeah, I have access to God. They'd look at you like you're nuts, because what happened when did not have access to God? Not everybody had access to God. They had to be purified. They had to go through a purification process. Only the priest could go into the temple. And if the priest did not do the laws and follow the laws exactly, guess what? They could drop down dead right in the middle of the temple. Not everybody had access to God in the Old Testament. So Jesus came to bring the access to God through his advent. His advent brought access to God. That's wonderful news. It's wonderful news. And by the way, they would have to tie a rope around the priest's belly or stomach to be able to pull that guy out if he dropped down dead. All right? Because they couldn't go in there to get him because they would die. Not everybody had access to God in the Old Testament. But God knew that one day, Jesus being the ultimate Lamb of God, you know, they call him the Lamb, that we would have access to God. We have access to God today. There's no longer, you don't have to come to me as a pastor and confess your sins to me, you know, to have access to the Father. You can do it right in your car if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer, then you just repent of your sins and you turn from your wicked ways. You ask Jesus in your heart. You become justified, and then you have access to God. That's what Jesus' birth brought to all of us. Isn't that good news? That's great news. We have access because of Jesus. And notice the next word, stand, all right? So through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope. All right, so stand is the next word in this verse 2 that has a significant meaning. It means permanent, secure, a secure position. So it's a secure position believers enjoy in God's grace. All right, so we will be able to forever stand in God's grace. Right, we have a permanent position. Jesus' advent brought this permanency in our life of God's grace. The arrival of Jesus, his very birth, had a significant purpose for all humanity. It was to bring restoration and permanent access to the Father for the believers. That's awesome. That is awesome, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited just like bearing down on this and going through this passage, Romans 5, 1 through 5. I hope that you walk away thinking about Romans 5, 1 through 5 in a little bit different light. That Jesus' advent brought about all this stuff. It's good news. There's permanency that we have access to God permanently. All right? So hope in the glory of God. This hope is certain. It's not a hope it doesn't rain today, or I hope the Vikings win the Super Bowl. It's this hope is the ultimate destiny to share in the glory of God. In Philippians 3:20, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." All right? And also in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." This passage in Romans is so rich in breaking down, and when we break it down, we are seeing the promises being fulfilled through Jesus. It's awesome. And there's so many people who say they don't believe this stuff. There's so many people who say Merry Xmas now, or Happy Holidays, or Happy Hanukkah, or when I say Merry Christmas, somebody will say, "You too." Our world is just going away from the good news. Does anybody know what the Pope just did? If you don't know, go look it up. Lies. We're allowing the lies to permeate this country and the world. People are not being glorified right now. Well, we're not glorified until we die, okay? So people who are saved, who have salvation in Christ, you're fully glorified when you die. For those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they die, they're not glorified. They go to hell. But Jesus came through the advent of his, you know, their expectancy. We read about Simeon and how he waited in the temple for so long, right? He waited and waited and waited. And he was an old man, and he finally got to hold the birth of he finally got to hold the baby Jesus. And he said, "I have seen salvation to all men. Now I can die in peace." Simeon, right? I love to hear some of the stories about how people will come to Christ right before they die. They get to have peace with God right before they die. And that's the good news. Folks, it does not matter. If you're still breathing and you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, even on your deathbed, you get to go to heaven. You will be glorified. You've been restored. You've been made new. That's what restoration means. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to make humanity new again so that we can always have access to the Father. And that word stand is permanent. Remember that. Let's continue. We can have hope in the midst of suffering. Hope in the midst of suffering. Romans 5, 3 and 5. Notice what happens when trials come. They produce endurance, character, and hope. People will suffer for Jesus. People will die for telling others about Jesus. And some will be put into prison because of Jesus. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, spent some time in jail because the authorities wanted him to quit preaching. And because he refused, they locked him up for a while. I didn't know that either. How many of you knew that the guy that wrote Pilgrim's Progress spent time in jail? Okay, well, I got my Bible scholars over here, but, you know, I didn't know that. When I found that out, I was shocked. And Charles Spurgeon said, "That's a guy right there." He said, that's a man of faith. He's willing to be locked up because he won't stop preaching the gospel. And by the way, I watched a documentary by John MacArthur called The Essential Church. And he talked about that in his movie, The Essential Church. The gospel is essential. The gospel can never be stopped from being preached. Never. It's the good news. It's our ticket to heaven. Right? It's our ticket to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, right? And John Bunyan knew that, so he did not stop preaching the gospel. And he had quite a character. It's amazing. It's amazing to me that John Bunyan was locked up because he would not stop preaching. William Tyndale was burned at the stake for his faith in Christ, right? All the apostles but one died horrible deaths. And yet they counted it all joy because they knew that they were going to be glorified with the Father through Jesus. John the Revelator was boiled and tarred and feathered. And then he was banished to the island of Patmos, right, where he broke rocks. But he wrote, an angel appeared to him and he wrote the book of Revelation. And by the way, he was so he was wanting to worship the angel that was telling him all this stuff about Revelation because it was so good. Folks, my thing to you about this, the book of Revelation, is if you're a Christian, you have nothing to fear. If you're not a Christian, you read the book of Revelation, I hope it brings you to Christ. Because in the end, we are in heaven. We're no longer waiting the advent. We're no longer needing the word justification and salvation. We're no longer needing the word glorified. We're going to be in glory, looking at the glory of the Father forever and ever and ever and ever. And you get that out of Romans 5, 1 through 5. There will no longer be veiled faces. We will be able to look at the glory of the Father. We won't have to do this anymore. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost in your life, what it means to follow Christ? Have you allowed your circumstances in your life to build your character? Or have you allowed the circumstances in your life to put you to sleep? Someday we're going to have to wake up. Daniel. And we're going to stand before God. One day we are going to stand before God, guilty or not guilty. Joy. All right, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king, right? Our joy comes from Jesus. No matter the circumstance in our life, no matter the circumstance in our life, one day there's going to be several believers who are going to be beheaded because they believe in Christ. That's in the book of Revelation. There's coming a time in America, I believe, that persecution will be hit us so hard that we will not have the freedoms of church that we see it now. We'll probably have to go underground. And then maybe people will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Maybe by the thousands, like we read in the book of Acts chapter 2, they broke bread together daily. They got together and prayed daily. And then the people were added to the number of salvation by the thousands daily. I've been preaching the gospel here for 2 years and not seen a single soul come to know the Lord. Took evangelism explosion. Have not been able to share the gospel with anybody on the street. Yet Michelle Gruber, I'm sure, is working with that guy that gave her a hard time over in the tea house. If you guys remember that story she told. And remember what Donnie Mason said when he came and he shared? You know, he wanted to share what had happened in Russia. He was there. They were there for 16 years, right? And they counted the cost. They built character. He's now a chaplain, by the way, at Ohio State University. And he said, out of 16 years, there was a lot of bad things that happened, but I just want to share the good news, some of the good things that happened with you all. Just because we have the good news and just because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword doesn't mean that people are going to listen. But what is our job as believers? Because we know the story of Advent. We believe in the birth of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believe and we've repented and we've been saved and we've been justified, right? And we're waiting for our glorification. We've counted the cost. And we understand that when trials come our way, it's to build our good character. But there are people who don't understand that. And those are the people we need to be praying for. Because they don't understand Romans 5, 1 through 5. They don't have that hope. They don't have that glory. They don't have that joy that comes because of Jesus. See, Jesus' advent, the reason we celebrate Christmas is because we have hope and we have been justified through faith. And if we are told to stop sharing the gospel, we should count that as joy because we are doing the will of the Father. So continue to share the gospel even if you're told to stop. We are told to go and make disciples, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Will you pray with me that people will come to find the hope that stands firm and unwavering? For further study, go to Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. These are for further study. Again, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. And remember this, James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. That's James 4:8. If anybody is here today and you have not been justified, you think you're not justified, you think you're still guilty in sin, please come and talk to me. Please come and talk to Fish. Please come and talk to Brother Gary or Brother John. We will be more than glad, or Brother Aaron, even. We'll be more than happy to lead you through the gospel and share with you the good news and help you to repent of your sin and to be restored to God and experience that joy, that unspeakable joy of coming to know the Father. Because that's what Jesus' advent brought for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you so much for your word and how sharp it is. And how in Romans 5, 1 through 5, we see that we can have glory, we can have hope, and we have that the trials that make us our character grow, and we have that permanency, the stand, that means it's unwavering in you, Father, because of Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit who comes and indwells in us as when we become believers in Christ. God, you are so good, and you had all this planned out from the very beginning. And all we have to do is be obedient unto you and go and make disciples. As you go, make disciples. Father, you are so good. You're so holy and you're so righteous. And none of us deserve anything but eternal punishment. But because you loved humanity, you sent Jesus. And we saw the arrival in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Really, Luke chapter 2. And then we see Jesus' life through the Gospels and part of Acts. Really, the whole Bible. How salvation was brought to humanity to be saved from sin, to be made new, to restore us so that we could have a relationship with you. God, during this last song, if the Holy Spirit has been moving in anybody's hearts and they want to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, give them the boldness to come forward. Don't let them walk away today not coming to know you. Help them to be justified. God, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you so much for your word. And we thank you so much for the freedom that we have to be able to preach the gospel freely. We ask that it brought you glory and honor in all this, in this message, and how Jesus' advent really brought something to us, the good news and peace and joy, even in the midst of trials. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings to us. Continue to help CMA Church to be a beacon of hope in Greenville, Ohio. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you all stand, we have one more song, right? We have one more song, and during this last song, if you find that you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to come forward, and I'll pray with you, or somebody will.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on a hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucify, could have come from these lips of mine. Dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean. Then I read the red letters and the ground began to shake. Like lightning hit my veins, my dead heart began.
sent his only son to die for me. Arms spread wide for the whole wide world. His arms spread wide where mine should be. Jesus changed my destiny. Thank you. I am a free man.